Hare Krishna, I welcome all the devotees to Bhakti Sangha Jepa conference call. Today we are very fortunate to have His Grace Nitya Krishna Prabhuji to enlighten us on topic Srimad Bhagavatam 4.12.35 onwards. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Guru Maharaj Ki Jai. Thank you so much Prabhuji for your valuable association. Please take over the call Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Dhanva Pranam to all the Asamod Vaishnavas. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskrita Naram Chaiva Narottamam. Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tatha Ujaya Mudiriye Nasta Prayesho Bhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Atamashoke Bhaktir Bhavakti Naishtiki. Hare Krishna everyone. So today we are reading from this most glorious Srimad Bhagavatam, the ripened fruit of all Vedic knowledge. We'll be reading today from Canto 4, Chapter 12, and as I understand, verse 36. So we'll read the verse and discuss.
Yad brajamanam sarucheva sarvato lokas trayahi anu vibrajanta ete yanavrajan yantushu ye anugraha Vrajanti Padrani Charanti Ye Anisham.
Yat, which planet? Brajamanam, illuminating. Swarucha, by self-effulgence. Eva, only. Sarvata, everywhere. Loka, planetary systems. Traya, three. He, certainly. Anu, thereupon. Vibrajante, give off light. Ete, these. Yat, which planet? Na, not. Avrajan, have reached. Jantashu, two living entities. Ye, those who. Anunagraha, not merciful. Rajanti, reach. Vadrani, welfare activities. Charanti, engage in. Ye, those who. And Anisham, constantly. Translation. The self-effulgent Vaikuntha planets, by whose illumination alone all the illuminating planets within this material world give off reflected light, cannot be reached by those who are not merciful to other living entities. Only persons who constantly engage in welfare activities for the living entities can reach the Vaikuntha planets. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Here is a description of two aspects of the Vaikuntha planets. The first is that in the Vaikuntha sky there is no need of the sun and moon. This is confirmed by the Upanishads as well as the Bhagavad Gita. Natad basayate sayo na sharan shashanko na pavaka. In the spiritual world, the Vaikuntha lokas are themselves illuminated. There is, therefore, no need of sun, moon, or electric light. It is, in fact, the illumination of the Vaikuntha lokas which is reflected in the material sky. Only by this reflection are the suns in the material universes illuminated. After all the illumination of the sun, all the stars and moons are illuminated. In other words, all the luminaries in the material sky borrow illumination from Vaikuntha loka. From the material world, however, people can be transferred to Vaikuntha Loka if they incessantly engage in the welfare activities for all other living entities. Such incessant welfare activities can really be performed only in Krishna consciousness. There is no philanthropic work within this material world but Krishna consciousness that can engage a person 24 hours a day. A Krishna conscious person is always engaged in planning how to take all of suffering humanity back home, back to Godhead. Even if one is not successful in reclaiming the fallen souls back to Godhead, still, because he is Krishna conscious, his path to Vaikuntha Loka is open. He personally becomes qualified to enter the Vaikuntha Lokas. And if anyone follows such a devotee, he also enters into Vaikuntha Loka. Others who engage in the envious activities are known as karmis. Karmis are envious of one another. Simply for sense gratification, they can kill thousands of innocent animals. Gyanis are not as sinful as karmis, but they do not try to reclaim others back to Godhead. They perform austerities for their own liberation. Yogis are also engaged in self-aggrandizement by trying to attain mystic powers. But devotees, Vaishnavas, who are servants of the Lord, come forward in the actual field of work in Krishna consciousness to reclaim fallen souls. Only Krishna conscious persons are eligible to enter into the spiritual world. That is clearly stated in this verse and is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, wherein the Lord says that there is no one dearer to him than those who preach the gospel of Bhagavad Gita to the world. Om Jnana Timidandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeyam Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagradatam Sagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Paridana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamsha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Rindavaneshwari Shabanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kupa Sindhu Bevacha Patita Nam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Prasharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paschata Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shri Vasari Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, everyone. So beg the blessings of all the assembled Vaishnavas so that we may have a nice discussion today on this most glorious section of Srimad Bhagavatam, this pastimes of Dhruva Maharaj. The chapter, again, is entitled Dhruva Maharaj Goes Back to Godhead. And we know this pastime to be very, very dear to the most magnanimous Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, whose appearance we'll be celebrating in just a few short days, and we are eagerly awaiting the celebration. And so it's very appropriate that we are studying this pastime, which is very dear to him, that he studied over and over and over again with his dear Gadadhar Pandit at the Toto Gopinath temple. So this pastime is quite extraordinary. It's been a fascinating journey from a five-year-old child who was forbidden to sit on the lap of his father, to the perfection of his very intense devotional service under the guidance of his spiritual master, resulting in the darshan of Lord Vishnu, to his return home from such intense perfections in the grandest of ways after being shunned, to then a very ferocious fight to avenge the loss of his brother, the corrective action that ensued by Manu, and then this very exemplary reign as a king, showing the real art of leadership, culminating in this retirement to prepare for this ultimate journey that he is now on. And so we have come to this section where Dhruva Maharaj has been seated aboard this very wonderful aeroplane, not like any aeroplane we have any experience of or have seen, but can just read about and understand through Srimad Bhagavatam. And he is on his way back home, back to Godhead. In this chapter, we see Dhruva Maharaj's, you know, great humility in asking for forgiveness for his actions of being overly aggressive in avenging the loss of his brother. We also see Dhruva Maharaj's ruling as a king. You know, the Srimad Bhagavatam is full of narrations of these Rajarshis, these Rajas, kings, who are acting like Rishis. They're acting under the guidance of scriptural injunction to lead society. And we see his exemplary actions we'll talk a little bit about. And it's due to the amazing mercy of Gauranga Mahaprabhu that in this golden era, you know, we have some hope for, you know, these saintly persons to return to leadership of these nations, because that is the means by which real prosperity can be had. You know, we recently saw Prime Minister Modi having the association of a pure devotee in Delhi and inaugurating the, you know, gigantic Bhagavad Gita. And we can see his devotional qualities. And we have another Gaudiya Vaishnavi running for president here in the U.S., Tulsi Gabbard. So somehow we can hope that these you know, stories we see in Srimad Bhagavatam about great saintly leaders may happen in our own lifetimes. Dhruva Maharaj is now, you know, seated on this celestial airplane, this spiritual airplane, I should say, and he is traveling back home, back to from where he came. And we are all in the process here trying to return back home, back where we came. And so this is a very instructive pastime for us to discuss. So today we'll discuss the two aspects of this verse. One is the illumination and how we gain illumination in this world. And then we'll speak about this selfless service. Prabhupada speaks for the most of their purport on this mood of selfless service. What is the activity that one must perform in order to return back home to Godhead? So we'll discuss that. I just wanted to read the verse again before we start, just because it was a long purport. So the verse again is, "The self-effulgent Vaikuntha planets, by whose illumination alone all the illuminating planets within this material world give off reflected light, cannot be reached by those who are not merciful to other living entities. Only persons who are constantly engaged in welfare activities for other living entities can reach the Vaikuntha planets." So we see this very powerful statement. Only those who are engaged in the welfare activities can enter the Vaikuntha planets. And certainly that is where Dhruva Maharaj is going. So Srila Prabhupada comments in another area, this, I quote, "He was the most exalted personality to ever show mercy to the conditioned souls." And we'll discuss this person Srila Prabhupada is referring to, but it's quite appropriate when we're speaking about mercy to the conditioned soul, mercy to the living entities, performing welfare activities. Srila Prabhupada called this person the most exalted personality. So I'll leave you in a little bit of suspense to guess who this person may be, but we'll discuss at the end. And those of you who are expert studies of Srila Prabhupada's books may recall this statement. So the first aspect of this verse is about the spiritual world being self-illuminated. And, you know, scientists wonder, where is the sun's potency? When will it run out? How it is emanating this light? You know, we are sitting here 93 million miles away. Actually, according to our Srimad Bhagavatam, you know, there's only one sun in the universe. Those scientists proclaim all the stars are different suns. That is not the fact. There is only one sun. And that sun
we see here, it gets its illumination from the spiritual world. In the spiritual world, there is no need for artificially created light, like what we sit under today when we plug in a lamp that is created through the use of power. But such illumination is not needed in the spiritual world. The whole spiritual world is lit coming off of the effulgence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Brahma Jyotir is the source of all light, not only in the spiritual world, but also in the material world. And the interesting point that I wanted to comment on is that Srila Prabhupada says, only by this reflection are the sun in the material universe is illuminated. And the point, the word I was sort of struck by is the reflection. You know, this whole material world, it is but a perverted reflection of the spiritual world. Everything we see here, it exists in its pure form in the spiritual world. And, you know, in our journey to try to engage in pure devotional service, we know we must give up all of our material attachments, this anyabhilashita shunyam. No material attachment, shunyam, completely gone. But we sometimes find that difficult. But if we remember back to this statement, that everything that we may be attached to here in the material world, it is but a reflection of how it exists in the spiritual world in its pure form. Then, detaching from that reflection, detaching from that material world, may not be seem to be so difficult. You know, it's just like if you go to see the Taj Mahal, you're not going to see the Taj Mahal by looking at the ponds and seeing the reflection of the Taj Mahal. You do not want to be limited to your experience by just seeing the reflections. You want to see it directly. And so it's not so difficult to move past those reflections and go to see this Taj Mahal very directly, just using a mundane example. So like that, whatever we are seeing in the material world and what we so-called may be attracted to, it is just a reflection. And just remember, we can remember that it is the direct experience we can have if we qualify and enter into the Vaikuntha Loka, and ultimately, by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to Goloka Vrindavan. Then we no longer have to see things through reflection. We can experience them directly. So with this understanding, we may find it a little bit easier to detach from all of the material allurements that prevent us from performing pure devotional service. So this concept of liberation, now, you know, we see Dhruva Maharaj is elevating himself to the spiritual world. And when we think of liberation, we often think of it in this light or this context of me going from the material world to the spiritual world. But our acharyas comment that liberation, it is not a geographic destination. It is not the physical movement of the soul from one point to another point. Liberation is actually about consciousness. It is about becoming liberated from the entanglements of the material modes of nature. In Bhagavad Gita, we see mam chayo vipacharena bhakti yogena sevaka sagunan samititketan brahma bhuya kalpate. These gunas, saguna, all the gunas, one can at once transcend them. At once means that even in this body, one can become free from the modes of material nature. And that is the meaning of liberation, is to become liberated or free from the modes. So that is our goal, is to become liberated from the modes of material nature. And that is done by the practice of devotional service. So the key here is in the consciousness of the living entity determines whether one is liberated or not. It is not a matter of where my GPS coordinates are. It is not a matter of going from point A to point B. Certainly in the spiritual world, they're all liberated souls who are engaged fully in pure devotional service. But we should also remember that there are liberated personalities even within the material world. And Srila Rupa Goswami, in Nectar of Instruction, guides us that we should be very careful in how we meet and interact with these pure devotees, because they are already liberated. And thus, in verse 6, he guides us on not to make any offenses against such personalities. So again, the liberation, it is a matter of consciousness. And the consciousness that the liberated soul has is they have an understanding of who is the center of my life. It is not me, but it is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And with that comes this mood of selfless service. But it is not just selfless service for anyone. It is selfless service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that service to the Supreme Lord then extends to all the various living entities. And thus in this verse we see only persons who constantly engage in welfare activities for other living entities can reach the Vaikuntha planet. So it is through the practice of devotional service that one can enter the spiritual world. And we'll see and we'll discuss now how devotional service brings us to service of all the living entities, not just direct service to Krishna, but how the devotee is engaged in serving all of the living entities. And so it is this consciousness, this selfless nature, that it is not about I, me, and mine, but it is about the Supreme Personality of Godhead that actually liberates one. And so that is our goal as we think about our progress in devotional service. And do not, you know, confuse that it only occurs at the boarding of this transcendental aeroplane. So now we can speak about compassion. Looked up the word compassion on the internet, and the dictionary definition of compassion is a sympathetic consciousness of others' distress together with a desire to alleviate it. So this is compassion. A sympathetic consciousness of others' distress together with a desire to alleviate it. So there's two aspects to this. There's a consciousness, an awareness that someone is in difficulty, and it is coupled with a desire to alleviate it, to help them get beyond whatever that is causing distress. And this is compassion. And Srila Prabhupada, in the purport to the first verse of second chapter in Bhagavad Gita, gives us a very important instruction in speaking about Arjuna's mood of compassion and not wanting to fight the battle. He instructs, and Prabhupada comments, that one must know where to direct one's compassion. And he gives the very, you know, vivid example of if someone is drowning in the ocean, you're not going to just save the clothes of that person in the water. You want to pull the person out of the water into the boat, not just his clothes. And the point he is making here is that one's compassion, one's sympathy and consciousness of others' distress and that effort to alleviate it, it should be directed at the soul. That is who we are. If we perform philanthropy for alleviating the problems of the body, Prabhupada likens it to saving the clothes of a drowning man. What is the point if we pull the clothes into the boat, yet the person is still swimming in the ocean of material suffering? So real philanthropy is directed at the soul. And of course, when you save the soul, certainly the body as well is benefited. When you pull the person into the water, the clothes on their back also are saved as well. So in this way, we understand where our compassion, where our mood of helping others should be directed. And the only real philanthropy, as Srila Prabhupada says, is Krishna consciousness. This mood of the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, spreading the chanting of the holy names, It is the only means to deliver permanent help. All other philanthropy is nice, but it yields no permanent result. You know, I may help someone find a meal or find some medicines to cure the ailings of their body or find some shelter or whatever it may be. But all of those sufferings, all of the distress encountered by that living entity is not due to the lack of food, is not due to the lack of healthcare. It is due to one's past karma. And so philanthropy to help that person in need is to help that person stop their sinful life. Help them to again reawaken their eternal relationship with Krishna. By engaging them in devotional service, one can alleviate so much future suffering for that living entity. And thus, that is the mood of the devotees. The only real problem we have, the only real problem we have is separation from Krishna. And thus we are suffering this birth, death, old age, and disease, adiyatmin, adibhautik, adidaivik, difficulties. So Prabhupada guides us that philanthropy, compassion, it should take us to help the person, and that person is the spirit soul, and try to engage them in the process of pure devotional service. Because through the process of pure devotional service, one can then return back home and engage in an eternal life of service to Krishna. We are there free. Vaikuntha means free of all miseries. So there's this process of pure devotional service that enables one to reach that point. And pure devotional service, we know this is the actual eternal activity of the soul. It is the intrinsic activity that every living entity has. But we have forgotten it. And so by this selfless mood of compassion, of spreading this message, the living entity has an opportunity to reawaken this eternal activity that is the intrinsic innate nature of all of us. And we know that this pure devotional service, it is selfless. There is no motive for personal gain. The only motive is for the pleasure of Krishna. Anukulyena Krishna Anushilanam. That this desire of the living entity, the propelling force that encourages one to act, is to find ways to please Krishna. And this is the distinction between love and lust. You know, lust is this intense hankering to please one's senses. Whereas love is this intense hankering to please Krishna's senses. And this is how Srila Prabhupada comments about the distinction between love and lust. Love is when one has an intense desire to please the senses of Krishna. And that is what we are in the process of developing. And so we see this mood of selflessness. I am not intensified to please my own, but to please Krishna. And we see in this pastime of Dhruva Maharaj that this mood of love, this mood of compassion and service is very vividly shown to us. Dhruva Maharaj, he forgave his father very easily. Even his, you know, stepmother, who ultimately led to him leaving in a mood of anger, this mood of compassion. As a king, he emptied his treasury in yajna, sacrifice, for the benefit of all the citizens. His magnanimity was so profound that he was considered the father of all of the citizens of the land. We see this selfless nature. He was not, Prabhupada says, did not spend a farthing, a single cent on himself, though he had such a vast treasury. It was all spent in the service of others. When he was presented with an opportunity to ask for a benediction, his benediction was also of devotional service, to remember Krishna. He gave up the kingdom. You know, when his senses were still very young, though he had ruled for 36,000 years, you know, in this era, you know, people live very, very long, so he's still relatively young. And he gave it all up. No desire for sense gratification. And we know that when the plane arrived, when he was seated on the plane, he thought, I cannot go alone. I must go with my mother. He was not just thinking about his own salvation, but he was also very much concerned about his mother, his guru, who guided him to his Diksha Guru, Narada Muni. So like this, we see very much this mood. You know, even when the plane arrived, you can imagine if we were seated and this very beautiful plane from Vaikuntha Loka had descended and two personalities have informed us that this is ready to take us back. Before they even finished their sentence, we would have ran onto the plane and said, get us out. But Dhruva Maharaj held great customs. You know, he offered his respects first. He went and took bath. He circumambulated the plane, held all the Vedic principles, and then entered. So you see in this very, you know, nice mood. And this mood of service we see throughout our scriptures. And the residents of Vrindavan, the Rajabhumi, these Ragatmika Bhaktas, they have the most intense mood of selfless service we see. You know, the wives of the Brahmanas, they gave up their offerings to Krishna, even at the expense of upsetting their husbands. They were willing to surrender, even at the expense of their own safety and security and pacification of their husbands. Mother Yashoda, she had no care in the world but the service of Krishna. Constantly engaged in the protection of her beloved son. Again, this mood of selfless service. The gopis, they exemplify the most intensified selfless service. You know, we know the pastime of when the gopis when Krishna had his headache, they were willing to give the dust from their lotus feet, even if it banished them to hell. They did not care. As long as Krishna's headache and discomfort could be alleviated. They were not worried about, well, if it's convenient for me, then I'll do. Even if it meant their suffering would lead to Krishna's release from suffering, they were willing to do it. This is the epitome of selfless service. Right? So the Vaishnava is para dukkha dukkhi. The devotee has no pain for themselves, but they are in great pain seeing the difficulties of others, seeing the difficulties of other living entities. And this is the characteristic of a Vaishnava. They're para dukkha dukkhi. They care so much about the suffering of others, and that is what inspires them to perform this greatest welfare activity, which is spreading the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And why, we may wonder, the devotees care so much about others. We may understand why they care about Krishna. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is a reservoir of all rasas. He is our eternal Father. So, you know, the care for Krishna and his pleasure may be very clear. But why for others, the other living entities? But we can see without this selfless nature, one cannot enter pure devotional service. So there's a couple of different angles of vision on why so broadly. One, the devotee knows that their beloved Krishna has many children. Every living entity in the whole creation, both spiritual and material, are the children of Krishna. And they know, the devotee knows that Krishna is in pain, suffering from separation from his children who are separated from him in the material world through the influence of Maya. He understands, just like any mother or father, when they are separated from their child, if you go to a public place, and you are even momentarily separated from your child, there is an intense feeling of anxiety and stress and pain, almost on the verge of death. It's so unbearable. Like that, the devotee knows Krishna is experiencing that pain and sadness being separated from his children, which include every single living entity in this material world. And so the devotee is working very tirelessly to try to reunite their beloved Krishna with his beloved children. And that is the mood of preaching, to reunite Krishna with his lost children, to ease the pain of Krishna, and to ease the suffering of his children. The devotee engages in great welfare activity. And we see Krishna's own personal statements appreciating the efforts of one who reunites him with his lost children. He says, as Prabhupada references at the end of the purport, at the end of Bhagavad Gita in chapter 18, Krishna says, "There is no one more dear to me than one who shares this knowledge. And never will there be anyone more dear to me than one who does." This is Krishna himself saying, one who shares this knowledge with other living entities and facilitates that living entity's return back home to their Supreme Father, no one is more dear. And we can understand with logic, if we became separated from our child, and in such severe suffering, somebody brings us back our child, that person who brought back our child, we would do anything for. Our appreciation for that person would know no bounds. It would be limitless. And so this is the mood Krishna has for his devotees who engage in this selfless service of reuniting his children with him. And so the devotee is tirelessly working for this purpose. And this bhakti, this devotional service, it brings out this mood of compassion, this paradukha-dukhi, that the devotee sees that this living entity is also suffering. Not only is Krishna in anxiety, but the devotee is suffering in its separation from Krishna. And so to try to help that person, the Vaishnava engages in this preaching mission, spreading this knowledge, trying to help them achieve success. So the devotional service that is most pleasing is to preach the glories of bhakti to all the fallen souls. They're not interested in just their own salvation, as Prabhupada comments. The karmis have no interest in salvation. The jnanis have interest in only their own salvation. But the devotees, the Vaishnavas, the pure devotees, out of this intense mood of compassion, they're driven to help all the fallen souls. And Srila Prabhupada showed this in the fullest. He said, preaching is the essence. Books are the basis. Utility is the principle and purity is the force. So he said, preaching is the essence of what we do. And it is based on studying Srila Prabhupada's books, utilizing all the facilities and abilities we may have, whatever ability we have. Preaching is not just one-dimensional. There are many, many varieties of preaching. We utilize that in this mission. And with good sadhana and good practice, we can purify ourselves to be able to be more effective in this preaching process. And that is the mission. Srila Prabhupada gave up the comforts of retired life in Vrindavan Dham to come and save all of us, to pull us out of the ocean of material suffering. He showed this in perfection. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, again, whose appearance will be celebrated, he came to teach this practice of the most intense form of devotional service. He came to teach us this spontaneous, loving relationship with Krishna. And he came to distribute it to everyone, far and wide. And this process of devotional service that we are practicing, we're following in the footsteps of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And so I thought I could read and discuss one pastime from Chaitanya Charitamrita in this regard that we'll see this compassion. And I wanted to read this commentary of Srila Prabhupada on this devotee. I gave one sentence at the beginning. I wanted to read the full paragraph to see the extraordinary person that we're going to discuss. Prabhupada says about this person, he was far, far above philanthropists, philosophers, and fruitive actors. He was the most exalted personality to ever show mercy to the conditioned soul. This is not an exaggeration of his transcendental qualities. It is perfectly true. Actually, there cannot be any comparison to this person. As the perfect Vaishnava, he was paradukaduki, very much aggrieved to see others suffer. The entire world is purified simply by the appearance of such a great devotee. So this is Srila Prabhupada's description of this great devotee. So we'll back up a little bit to enjoy a little bit of Gaura Lila Katha as well, and that'll take us to discuss this great personality who showed great compassion for all the living entities, and as Prabhupada said, greater than anyone we have ever seen before. So we read in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performed many, many wonderful pastimes. And one of the most ecstatic pastimes that are very vividly described are the pastimes in Jagannath Puri of the Rath Yatra festival. It starts with the cleansing of the Gundicha temple, and then it carries on into the grand Rath Yatra festival. There, all the different associates of Navadvip and Bengal have come to Jagannath Puri to participate in this festival with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So you can imagine the joyous occasion, you know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu being reunited with all of his dear associates after he had left them taking sannyas. A very wonderful celebration, the Rath Yatra celebration itself, in participation of Vrindavan pastimes. And the residents of Bengal and Navadvip, they stayed with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for 4 months after the Rath Yatra festival. And in this way, they celebrated many, many wonderful pastimes. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu led the celebration of Janmashtami. They would all dress up. He had all the different devotees dress up as cowherd boys. Two of them even dressed up as Mother Yashoda and Nanda Baba. They would go in the streets and they would carry pots of milk and yogurt with a rod connecting them. And like this, they would very vividly enact the pastimes of Janmashtami and the Nanda Mahotsav festival. Advaita Acharya, in this instance, he once went to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and said, please forgive me, but if you are really a cowherd boy, you will take this rod and you will twirl it very fancifully. And so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took this rod and he began to twirl it up and down behind him. He'd throw it in the air and then catch it again, and he'd twirl it behind his back, under his legs, and then Prabhupada comments that he would spin it so fast, like a firebrand, and everybody was whipped into an ecstatic mood seeing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu twirling this rod like a cowherd boy, and Lord Nityananda also picked one up and did the same. And in this way, they were reliving their eternal leelas by celebrating these different festivals. They celebrated the festival of Vijayadashmi. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and all the devotees dressed up as monkey soldiers. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu picked up a big branch and began to look for the palace in Lanka, and he wanted to destroy this palace. He called out, shouted out in a roar, where is this Ravan, this rascal, I will kill him. And all the associates were just stunned, never have seen such a kind of mood and emotion from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is celebrating this, you know, wonderful festival that carried on through Kartik and celebrated all the different festivals of Kartik, Rasa Yatra, and Diwali, and all the different wonderful festivals we celebrate. And like this, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very wonderfully enjoyed with his devotees, giving them bliss in relationship and giving wonderful pastimes like this. But ultimately, at the end of this four-month period, he asked them all now to return to their homes and carry on this preaching mission. Again, we see this mood Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had. It was not, we're not here to just sit in the temples and enjoy the wonderful service, but we are to go out and spread this mission. I'm sure all the devotees would love to have stayed in Puri and enjoyed with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But he instructed them. He ordered Advaitacharya, you go and please give bhakti to even the lowest of man. He instructed Lord Nityananda, you travel throughout Bengal and give out bhakti without restriction. Again, he's trying to save all the living entities. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu even gave some of his own assistants, servants, like Ramadas, Gadadhar Das, and others, to assist Lord Nityananda in this preaching mission. And then he embraced Srinivas Thakur, and he encouraged him that you do this daily kirtan. Don't think because I'm not here, you should not continue. Please continue. And he encouraged him by saying, I will come and dance in your kirtan. You will see me. Others will not. But I will come and dance. But you continue this Nama Sankirtana. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu reveals a very sweet mood in this discussion with Srivas Thakur. He tells Srivas Thakur that please give this Mahaprasad from Lord Jagannath to my most beloved mother Sachi. And this next few verses in this chapter are so sweet, seeing the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He said to Srivas Thakur that I have made a mistake abandoning the service of my mother. I should not have done it. I am just here to serve her. I took sannyas and abandoned this service as a madman. This is not appropriate. Though I have offended Mother Sachi by abandoning my service to her, she is not taking offense because I am her child. But nonetheless, I am very, remorseful that I have done this. I am only staying in Puri because of her instruction, but still, I am very missing her service. And then he tells Srivas Thakur, every day I go to Mother Sachi and offer obeisances at her feet. She feels this internally, but she has some doubts because she doesn't see it. She feels my presence, he's telling Srivas Thakur, but she doesn't know. And like this, sometimes she cooks very wonderful offerings. She'll cook wonderful qualities of rice, spinach sabjis, pakoras, wonderful sweets. And when she takes the plate on her lap to make the offering to her Shaligram Balagopal, she begins to cry in extreme pain, realizing that these are the foodstuffs my own Nimai would enjoy so much. And in this way she's crying. But when she cries in this way, I actually come, this is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again speaking to Srivas Thakur. He says, I go and I eat all the offerings. And so Mother Sachi is holding this plate and she is crying, lamenting how she would have enjoyed her Nimai eating these offerings. But when she wipes away the tears and opens her eyes, she sees the whole plate is empty. And then she is confused. What happened? Did some animal come and eat the offerings? She had doubts that her Shaligram Balagopal had eaten it. She said, what happened? Then she goes into the kitchen. She looks into the pots and sees that All the rice is there, all the sabji is there. Then she's wondering, did I not even make the plate? And like this, she is completely bewildered. And she has her servant Ishan clear everything. And then she recooks the offering and then makes the offering to her deities. So like this, she is bewildered. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tells Srivas Thakur, please tell Mother Sachi that whenever she cooks and she is crying in great anxiety of her desire to feed me, tell her that I come and actually eat all the offerings. Tell her that you know this just happened on the past Vijayadashmi. And that way she'll have now faith, because she has some feeling of it, but she doesn't see it. So please inform her that I am actually coming and eating these offerings. So in this way, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was expressing his deep mood of attachment to his beloved Mother Sachi. And Srivas Thakur had the great fortune of carrying this message, which would surely bring great joy and happiness to Mother Sachi. So like this, he continued instructing. He glorified Raghav Pandit. Raghav Pandit was performing such nice service, detailed service. He was the best of all cooks. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was glorifying how he would go 20 miles away to find the best of coconuts. And he would keep these coconuts in the water so that it would become cool. And he would clip the tops. And he would comment that sometimes when Raghav Pandit would go to pick up the offering, sometimes the coconuts would be empty. All the juice would be gone. And Raghav Pandit would open the coconut and take the pulp and put it on another plate and then offer that back again to Krishna. And when he would come back again, sometimes the pulp would be gone again, showing that he was actually taking all of this. Sometimes he would refill the coconut and replace the pulp, and sometimes they would be gone. This was the purity of Raghav Pandit's service. He was very, very detailed in his service. And like this, he continued meeting all the devotees and bidding them farewell to continue engaging in this preaching mission. He met Mukunda Das, Raghunanda, and Narahari, and engaged each of them in their specific services. He gave each of them one service each and said, please go back and carry on this service. He glorified Murari Gupta as the great devotee of Lord Ramchandra, proclaimed him to be the incarnation of Hanumanji himself. And like that, he continued on. And then he brings us to this most merciful devotee that Srila Prabhupada had commented on. And who is that most merciful devotee? None other than Vasudeva Datta. Vasudeva Datta was being glorified by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but he wanted no part of it. And then Vasudeva Datta asked Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, my dear Lord, you have incarnated to deliver all conditioned souls. I now have one petition which I wish you would accept. My Lord, you are certainly able to deliver whatever you like, and you are indeed merciful. If you so desire, you can very easily do whatever you want. My Lord, my heart breaks to see the suffering of all the conditioned souls. Therefore, I request you to transfer the karma of their sinful lives upon my head. Wow. My dear Lord, let me suffer perpetually in hellish condition, accepting all the sinful reactions of all the living entities. Please finish their diseased material life. This was the prayer of Vasudeva Datta, perfectly exemplifying this mood of a Vaishnava, this Paradukaduki. He wanted to take all the suffering of all the living entities so that they may become free from their suffering. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur comments, Prabhupada presents in the purport his commentary on this verse.
And he explains that Vasudeva Dutta's plea was like none other. His compassion was unmatched as compared to when Jesus Christ came. Jesus Christ accepted the sins of all of his disciples, his followers. But Vasudeva Dutta is asking for to take all the sins of all living entities, not just his followers. But he went even further than that. Vasudeva Dutta's plea was to end their suffering completely, not just to empty their current account of sins, but to empty their current accounts of sins and to end their sinful life eternally by taking them back home to Godhead. Prabhupada comments that, you know, in the faith where we sin and then atone, what is the point? So Vasudeva Dutta did not want just to empty the sins so that the living entities could go on sinning again. He said, no, end their material life. So he continued, he prayed, and he said, I will take all of the suffering so that all the living entities may go back home, back to Godhead. This is the mood of compassion. It's unfathomable. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he heard this, he became struck. He began to cry. He could not, seeing this extreme mood of compassion, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said his heart was broken. Tears were flowing from his eyes. So pleased and so moved by this position of Vasudeva Dutta. And then Vasudeva Dutta, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then begins to speak to him. And he says very nicely in this verse, this is from chapter 15, Madhya Lila, verse 169. He says, this is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu speaking to Vasudeva Dutta. He says, whosever welfare you desire immediately becomes a Vaishnava. And Krishna delivers all Vaishnavas from the reactions of their past sinful activities. This is the mood of the preaching mission. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, whoever Vasudeva Dutta wishes to become a Vaishnava becomes a Vaishnava. And we know, when one is a devotee, Krishna takes all of their sinful reactions. So he's saying, you don't have to suffer for them, Vasudeva Dutta. Don't worry. You do not need to suffer in hell. Just by your desire to save them, they will become saved. Because Krishna says, sarva dharmam prityaja mam ekam sharanam vraja aham tvam sarve papebhyo. He says, aham tvam, I will take all of their pap. Mokshayish mama mahasuchaha. Don't worry. Do not fear. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was telling Vasudeva Dutta, by your great compassion and your great purity, whoever you desire immediately becomes a Vaishnava. Whoever you show your welfare to, they became a Vaishnava. And when they are a Vaishnava, Krishna will take their sins. So my dear Vasudeva Dutta, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu speaking, you do not need to suffer for the sins of all living entities. And so we see that this mood of preaching is the opportunity to show the greatest of all compassion and love. And this is the means for truly pleasing the Supreme Personality of Godhead and becoming detached from the material world. Again, liberation is not a geographic destination. We may wonder, well, if I'm busy preaching here in the material world, how will I ever go back to the spiritual world? Liberation is not about reestablishing our GPS coordinates. It is about reestablishing the consciousness within our heart, invoking this mood of selfless service, bringing out this mood of compassion, trying to reunite Krishna with all of his lost children. And thus, as followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we see how he was instructing everyone to go out and share this message. He personally traveled all throughout India, spreading the Namasankirtana, this yajna of the age of the holy names, delivering the most fallen of fallen. Even the animals in the forest were dancing to the holy names and being delivered. So, as we approach this most auspicious Gaura Purnima, we can try to bring this mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu into our hearts and into our daily lives, and do whatever we can do in this preaching mission to help bring about welfare for all of the living entities, and thus relieve them of their suffering, relieve Krishna of his own suffering from the separation between him and his lost children, and along the way, bring about our own success in devotional service, and bring about an eternal life of bliss and happiness. So this is what we see in this verse and purport of the 12th chapter of 4th canto, 36th verse. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Ananta Koti Vaishnavinda ki jai. Hare Krishna. Any comments or corrections, clarifications, or questions?
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, very, very beautiful class. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for such a beautiful class. I don't have any questions. Is anybody having any more questions or comments for Prabhuji?
Prabhuji,
thank you, Prabhuji. Very, very nectarian class. It's very, very wonderful, Katha. Thank you. Hare Krishna. I don't have a question, but it's wonderful. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Prabhuji, Hare Krishna, Dandavat Pranam, this is Vivek. Really nice class, Prabhuji. I just have one question. You referenced Srila Prabhupada's comment on the like the end of the purport, where he says that he reiterates Lord Krishna's point of there is no one who is dearer to him than who spreads this message of Krishna consciousness to others. So basically he refers to what Krishna mentions in the Bhagavad Gita that you mentioned. But I'm just a little confused here, because if you go to the verse that Srila Prabhupada references, which is the 18th chapter, there Krishna says the same thing. But the preceding verse, actually Lord Krishna says that actually those who preach this to the devotees, and then in many places in Srimad Bhagavatam, also Krishna, as Lord Kapila, he says that if you don't show compassion to living entities, then whatever devotional service we do is of no value. So at different places, we have then you quoted Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's compassion and how he preached himself to show how we should perform devotional service. So at different places we have different explanations given. I was feeling why Lord Krishna actually mentioned in the 18th chapter like that, but in other places it talks full and full about compassion, like you mentioned.
Yes, no, there's just some nice commentary on it. Thank you for your question, Dhanma Pranam. When Krishna says that this confidential knowledge may never be explained to those who are
not austere or devoted or engaged in devotional service, nor to one who is envious of me. This is the 67th verse that precedes the two verses in which Krishna says, for one who explains his supreme secret to the devotees, pure devotional service is guaranteed, and at the end he'll come to me. And then he says, no servant in this world more dear than to no servant in this world more dear to me than he, nor will there ever be one more dear. So our acharyas comment on this, that Krishna, the reason Krishna is guiding us to be careful who we preach this to, there's two angles of vision here. One is that when if we preach to the envious about Krishna, it will increase their sins. Because they are envious of Krishna and become and have hatred of Krishna, if we speak about Krishna, they will chastise him and thus incur more sinful reaction. So better not to speak to them, because it's still out of compassion, because we don't want to increase their offenses. So the mood of not speaking to them is also out of compassion, not because, oh, they don't like Krishna, so I don't like them. No. It is that because they have this animosity, that it will fuel more offenses. So that way, they try to comment that we should not discuss with them. Now there, but there another point is made here is that Krishna is speaking also out of favor to his devotee, saying don't waste your time, don't spend your precious time if those are not interested. But Prabhupada comments that a devotee though is even more compassionate in that way, that they're willing to even sacrifice their time to save a fallen soul. So Krishna on the one hand is speaking out of love, but the devotee is so inspired to reunite the living entities with Krishna that they will reach, go far and wide, even endure great trouble to render this service. So like any loving father, they don't want to see their child endure any difficulties, but the child is willing to endure some difficulties out of love. So there's the both angles of vision here. So our position as devotee is that, yes, we will not preach to the envious, but that is also out of compassion because we don't want them to incur further reactions. But we will go through great lengths, extraordinary lengths, like Srila Prabhupada, crossing oceans,
right,
going through so much difficulty to try to reunite Krishna with his lost children. And that servant is more is very dear. So there is no contradiction, but there are, you know, the different angles of love that are being expressed here. And thus we understand our mission is to follow the direct instructions and footsteps of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and then through Srila Prabhupada, who said, preaching is the essence. It's okay?
Okay. Thank you, Prabhuji.
Thank you, Prabhuji, for your question.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Tandra Pranam. All glories to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Very nice class, Prabhuji. I had one or two questions, related ones. Is that okay? Can I ask?
Yes, Mataji. Thank you.
Okay. The Vasudev Datta, the exalted personality that you mentioned, Prabhuji, is he the same one, the one who was struck with leprosy, and then later when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced him, the leprosy went away? Is he the same person? That's the first question.
No. Vasudev. No,
that's Vipra Vasudev. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. And then Vasudev Datta, you said that he, with his selfless devotional service, he asked Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to liberate all the conditioned souls at that time. So that was his desire. So did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then, at that point of time, who all were there, all the living entities at his point of time, did he, were all those souls liberated then, Prabhuji?
I am laughing because I knew this question was coming from someone. I'm laughing because it's an interesting question. We've had many, many discussions with very, very senior devotees about this question, that then if it was fulfilled, then why are we all still here in the material world?
the shop should have been closed up, wrapped up, and gone. What happened? So it's explained, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually gives some commentary, or he speaks that, you know, there it is of no real significance for this universe to be emptied and wrapped up, because it is like one, you know, big fruit tree that has millions of fruit. If one or two fruits fall to the ground and are destroyed, what is the loss? Because there are so many fruits left. Like this, if one universe is emptied, there are still millions and 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 millions of universes remaining, in which the living entities are, you know, swimming within the material world. And so like this, you know, we understand that, yes, everybody did go back to the spiritual world, but there were still millions of living entities falling and cycling through the different, you know, 8.4 million species and moving between. So this universe was refilled. Like that, we can understand. We also can understand, I've heard one commentary from a devotee that said, you know, that still when the living entity is presented with the opportunity to go back home to Godhead by the mercy of another, that you still have the free will to say yes or no. So you'll not be forced to go back to the spiritual world. So you still have to develop some intelligence to understand and say yes to the proposition. So everyone was offered the opportunity, we can understand, but some may not have taken that. But certainly because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made the proclamation, we can understand that everyone was certainly given the opportunity to go back to the spiritual world. And just one more comment, you were asking kind of who is Vasudeva Datta. We also understand, commented here that he is the none other than Prahlad Maharaj, has come to participate in this Gaura Leela. So just a little bit more context for Vasudeva Datta.
Yeah, that makes sense now, Prabhuji, because Prahlad Maharaj, he is the one who also, when Narasimhadev, he asked, what you want, then he wanted liberation for everybody. If I'm not, okay, great. Well, Prabhuji, one more question I'm tempted to ask. I know it might be sounding slightly dumb and you might even laugh at it, but when you were talking about the pastime or that Sachi Mata, when she used to make all those offerings, and then when she used to present in front of the Shira, and then you said that those the offerings used to go away because apparently the Krishna was eating it. So I'm just tempted to ask that, but that when we all in these conditioned souls, we all of us are making these offerings, but the offerings remain as it is here. But we are told that Krishna is having it by his eyes and by, could be from any form. But how come those offerings went away at that point of time, Prabhuji, for him?
Well, the offerings went away because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was coming and personally eating them. And so that's why they went away.
Oh.
But in the pastime, in the comment with Raghav Pandit, you know, I mentioned that when he would offer the coconuts, sometimes the coconuts would be emptied and sometimes they would remain filled. So sometimes Krishna would drink all the coconut juice and then refill it with the coconut juice. So then when we go to take the coconut off, was it drinking or not? Of course it was. So like that, Krishna always eats the offerings we offer. It is not something that is possibly there. When it is offered with love, Krishna always eats the offerings. But he also leaves them back for us. And those offerings that come back to us, they contain the saliva of Krishna. This Adara Amrita. That is the proof that Krishna has eaten these offerings. So have no doubt Krishna is eating these offerings, but he is also leaving them back for us to enjoy as his mercy.
Thanks, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Very nice question. Thank you, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you so much for the most wonderful class. It was so nice from beginning to end. Especially the pastimes of Vasudev Das, Raghava Pandit, and also when you were talking about what is real liberation. Very, very nice class that, Prabhuji. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mataji. Dhanu Pranams.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Koti Koti Dhanu Pranam. Thank you very much for your assistance. Sri Prabhupada, Sri Gurudev Ki Jai.
Hare Krishna, Mataji, Dhanu Pranams.
Hare Krishna, is there anybody having any more questions or comments for Prabhuji?
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Very, very beautiful class. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji, Dhanva Pranams.
Hare Krishna. I would thank you so much, Prabhuji. Very beautiful class, and especially about that Vasudatta, who is Vasudatta in Krishna Leela. And thank you so much, Bhakti Sangha group, that you know we could able to hear all the pastimes of Gaura Leela, and we could also know so many things because of this Leela. Every day it is going after the class, little bit about the Gaura Leela. It is very nice, and thank you so much. I never hear about this, Prabhu. You told about Prahlad Maharaj, Vasudatta is Prahlad Maharaj, right? Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for the explanation. It was very, very nice. And is there anybody having any more questions or comments for Prabhuji?
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Dandavat Kuna. Thank you for the beautiful class. And as all Dada Mataji said, even I didn't know about the Prahlad Maharaj. Was the same personality, and thank you so much. I also want to thank you for the nectarian classes that you give on the nectar of instruction. They are really, really, really helpful. And thank you so much for your service. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna,
Madhuri.
Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna, is there anybody who would like to speak anything? Very nice. And actually from Kala Sudha Mataji's class, even I came to know about Chand Kazi's Kamsa. It is very, very nice. Every day something we are getting from this Gaura Leela. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for telling such a beautiful pastime of Gaura Leela. It was so nice in the morning hearing about Gaura Leela. Thank you once again, Prabhuji, for the beautiful class. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Dhanva Pranams.
Okay, if there are no more questions or comments for Prabhuji, we would like to end the call here, offering Vaishnava prayers.
Thank you, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.